Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Are children safe at school? After the unthinkable school shooting that took the lives of 20 children and six educators on December 14, 2012, that question burned its way back into the forefront of many of our minds. And while school safety has been an ongoing part of school planning and organization, the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, prompted schools across the country and here in San Antonio to revisit, evaluate, in some cases upgrade our school security and response plans. This half hour, we're discussing school safety. We invite your phone calls if you have an opinion. The number is 614-8980, 614-8988. 8980. If you welcome these upgrades to schools or if you think this is creating a terrible atmosphere for schools, call in. Let us know. We're joined by Leslie Price of the San Antonio Independent School District and on the phone by Chuck Hibbert. He is the school safety consultant. Welcome to The Source.
Hello.
Hey, Chuck, let me ask you about how have things changed since Sandy Hook for school safety?
Well, things have changed simply in the sense that on a national basis, we have a greater recognition of what schools need to be looking at, and this has caused schools to reexamine their process or procedures in light of the Sandy Hook tragedy.
Okay, so there's more attention being paid to these issues. So Leslie Price of SAISD, what's happening here locally in San Antonio?
Well, one of the things that's directly, you know, following Sandy Hook was meetings that began with the San Antonio Police Department Chief McManus and all of the school district police chiefs in Bexar County meeting from time to time, talking through strategies and response. And that didn't just end at the end of last school year. It started up again this fall, and there have been either sometimes teleconferences, conference calls, and sometimes in-person meetings. So that working together of all the different, you know, law enforcement agencies to enhance security and safety is something that came about because of that.
So at Sandy Hook, we saw that Adam Lanza, he shot through a window near a locked school entrance as he went in. He managed to get in, even though there was already some locking in place. So was that a wake-up call for many people, Chuck?
Well, I would hope not. I think the fact that external threats of the type that we saw occurred Sandy Hook would have been my hope that it was still on the minds of everyone that anything that happens in the community at large can certainly visit the schoolhouse doorstep.
But it showed that the security measures that they thought they had in place, they had just been installed, as a matter of fact, proved to be inadequate.
Well, in this case, yes, they did. And I think one of the things that we have to really we struggle with in schools, and let me throw this in as well. So while let's not just talk about public schools in America, because we're seeing a lot more private, charter, non-public education facilities springing up, if you will, where children's lives may be vulnerable as well. So let's take a look at this whole education spectrum of where we have children. But with that said, I think that one of the things that schools fight and one of the delicate balances that they really struggle with is what is adequate and what do we do about how much do we want and if we want to change the culture in our schools and the climate. Can we make them as secure as prisons? Yes, the technology exists to do that, but is that the culture in which children grow, nurture, and learn at their highest potential? I don't believe so.
Leslie Price of SAISD, I know that y'all have some really old, and I see it in a good way because they're beautiful school buildings, but they're not up to, you know, easily to adapt to these modern standards. What's happening to SAISD?
Well, with the help of our bond that was passed at the end of 2010, we were able to put in place a number of safety and security upgrades. So everything from the key card door systems that require visitors to buzz in to installing classroom door locks so that you don't have to go into the hallway to lock the classroom but can lock it from inside of the class, as well as to additional camera systems and security fencing. So a number of upgrades, about $44 million. And upgrades that we're able to do from that bond.
Do you think that having these upgrades interferes at all with the atmosphere, the learning atmosphere?
No, but you have to strike that balance. And so, you know, I do know that when we began putting in these door systems, there were, you know, a few parents that were upset about the lack of accessibility with doors locked during the day. But I think they quickly saw the importance of this, and we don't hear any of those complaints anymore. But it's getting adjusted to some changes. But you don't want a school, of course, that, you know, causes alarm, you know, fear by, you know, encircling it with guards and barbed wire and metal detectors. But you have to find that balance. And, you know, we look regularly. Our police department works with others, and we look at our emergency response plans and at what we need to do.
Let's get our callers in on this conversation. The number is 614-8980, and Tom has called in. Tom, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the morning of the shooting. I was actually just got home from work and had a Facebook notice that, of what had happened, and I turned on the news and saw the tragedy unfold, and I was overtaken by what had happened, and my children's school is only a few blocks away, so I went to the school, and I walked right through the front door. And you guys had mentioned about some schools being having to buzz in or ring a bell or something like that. I walked straight in and requested my children be brought to the front, and I took them home with me. But before that, I spoke with one of the teachers who was concerned about why I had come to pick up my child, and I told her what happened because she had no idea. And she nonchalantly told me, oh, you don't have to worry. They're safe here. I could have just bit her head off because of how she just disregarded the lives that were lost and her ignorance towards the fact that our children are not safe in schools. I live in Waycrest, and there's a police department right across the street from the elementary school, but that door was wide open, and it only takes a matter of minutes for someone to come and do what Adam Lanza did.
All right, Tom. Thank you for your phone call. Appreciate your comments. So it sounds like that Tom really wants to see his schools secure. He really was shaken by what happened at Newtown, and he's probably, and a lot of parents are just like that, Chuck.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's one of the things that schools have to be prepared to listen to is and to monitor what is the community desire in regards to what kind of physical improvements, and that's just one half of the equation. I also don't want us to ignore the people portion of this equation as well. We've been focusing on physical security, and that's fine, but we still have the best line of defense and safety for our children is a highly aware and well-trained school staff and student body.
So we're going to talk more about that in just a second. We're talking with Chuck Hibbert. He is the school safety consultant. Also with me in the studio, Leslie Price of SAISD. We're talking about school safety now that we're a year on after what happened in Newtown. We invite your phone calls and your emails. The phone number is 614-8980, 614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue the conversation. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We've seen a rapid rise in school shootings, especially in 2013. There were many of these terrible incidences. And also we had the one, of course, the big one in 2012, December 14th, 20 children, 6 educators gunned down in Newtown, Connecticut. As people are very concerned about are our schools the best, you know, are they safe for our children? We have two experts with us this afternoon to talk about that. We invite your phone calls, 614 614- 8980. With me in the studio, Leslie Price of SAISD, and on the phone, Chuck Hibbert, school safety consultant. Let's go to the phones. Rihanna is on the line. Rihanna, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. A couple of things I wanted to bring in there. I noticed when we had the Sandy Hook thing, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on with San Antonio with a lot of teachers wanting to be armed. And I feel like that is the worst idea ever. And going next to the comment about wanting to make the school not seem like a prison, I feel like the balance would be able to be achieved if we had actually more security guards instead of, you know, arming the teachers or anything like that.
Okay, Rihanna, thank you for that phone call. I appreciate that. So, Chuck, we've heard this call, arm the teachers, that will stop the shooters. A good guy with a gun will stop a bad guy with a gun. Is this gaining traction across the nation?
Certainly not across the nation. Of course, Texas is one of the leading states in regards to the fact that school districts that have authorized teachers, but there are others. But fortunately, I think the initial emotional burst that we saw in the weeks after Sandy Hook has finally given way to common sense. So we're not seeing this push generating, but just in a few isolated places across the country. So I agree with the caller. I think arming teachers is one of the worst ideas that we that came out of the aftermath of Sandy Hook, and I think it does most educators a disservice. Clearly, that's not what they're meant to be. It's not what they've chosen to be. And I think a gun on campus in the hands of anyone other than the most highly trained and skilled people is an absolute disaster waiting to happen.
Well, here in Texas, I've looked into the school districts that have decided to allow select members of their staff and faculty to be armed. These are very small school districts, very rural, and they can't afford to have a security guard. So this is how they're seeing how they can deal with that. Let's get another caller in on this. Andy wants to join the conversation. Andy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I didn't hear the previous comment, but it sounds related. I think Texas has an excellent opportunity to make our schools significantly safer if we would get the legislature to allow the holders of concealed carry licenses to carry on school property. That means that the person who would carry the gun is very well qualified. Texas has a very stringent concealed carry law that requires a person to undergo a background check, be fingerprinted, undergo a training course, and demonstrate competence on the range.
Okay, Andy, thank you for that and appreciate your call. And you support concealed handguns and allowing teachers to carry in the classroom. But, Chuck, you've said earlier that what we need is, planning is probably a better solution, a deterrent, than it's probably something that's not looked at enough.
Well, exactly. And I think it's important to recognize how one of the things that I see on a national basis is that we've done in the years since Columbine, and we really haven't, it hasn't been enough time devoted to training of staff at all levels. This includes custodians, food service workers, bus drivers, secretarial support people. There are a lot of adults in the environment, in the school environment, other than classroom teachers and administrators, which clearly need to be trained as well. But one of the things that I see is that we've not done a very good job of training people to be aware of issues. We've not done a very good job of training people in the area of verbal interventions. We saw a situation late last school year in Georgia at an elementary school where a distraught armed man went into a school office, and the school secretary was able to talk this man down from his situation. And he was clearly emotionally and mentally disturbed, but it was an action taken by someone other than a school administrator or a classroom teacher. So I think what we've really overlooked is training and getting people brought up to speed on awareness and some of the situational responses that we know have been effective in the past.
So Leslie Price at SAISD, do y'all have regularly scheduled lockdown drills? Is that something y'all do?
We do. Every campus every year has a very extensive emergency preparedness training, which involves our police department and mock scenarios. And so we make sure that that is done every year, as well as other safety type of drills with students. But that's an important component, as is a culture of awareness, really making sure that everyone is following those security procedures, knows those procedures, and also where you have an environment where students and staff feel they can openly report any suspicious activity. All of that, along with other kinds of safety upgrades and, you know, things you can put in facilities, are really important to trying to create the safest environment you can.
Do you know if, you know, I know that SAISD, you have your own police department, your own security force. How well are they able to communicate with with the SAPD, San Antonio Police Department?
Very well. You know, our police department has long had very good relationships with SAPD and other law enforcement.
With the radio communication?
With radio communications. In fact, just a few years ago, we redid our whole radio communication system to be able to work very well with theirs. So there's good communication between the groups. And now, under Chief McManus, also these meetings he started up with all the Bexar County School District police chiefs, they do meet on an ongoing basis to just, you know, make sure operationally we're all working together well.
So Chuck Hibbert, a school safety consultant, you know, a school district working with this, with the city's municipalities, police department, how important is that?
Well, I think that partnership among the community responders and schools is as a critical component as any other we've talked about today. I'm pleased to hear that San Antonio is working so closely with our schools. Because, again, sometimes that's not something I always see when I'm going across the country, and it's particularly something that I see lacking in the non-public school environment. So that concerns me a great deal as that segment of the education environment continues to grow, number of buildings and students enrolled outside the traditional public schools.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation to talk about school safety, especially in light of these mass shootings that we have now. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Chuck, do you go when you do an evaluation? Do you assessment when you're on site? Is that what you do?
Yeah, primarily the first thing that we ask clients is, have you had a thorough outside school safety assessment conducted? And then we do visit on site. We think that's important to see the students in the building and see what the culture is like. Each school and each school district across the country has its own culture and climate. And one of the things that we try to do is recognize that one size does not fit all. And you have to be sensitive to those different cultural issues when you're trying to make recommendations to clients.
You know, after we've seen police having to change tactics. Originally, when we had Columbine, the police were very hesitant to go in there. They were still assessing the situation. But now it seems like there's a whole different attitude. It's get in there as soon as you can to take out the shooter. Has that really happened, Chuck?
Well, that is the training in the law enforcement community is to – it has changed exactly as a result of Columbine what was the active shooter scenarios and trainings and response of police agencies have greatly changed since then. And so, yes, they're responding to the shooter and less worried about setting up a perimeter and trying to negotiate. I do want to stress that is in an active shooter scenario. The negotiation and lockdown procedures recently in a school district right before the Christmas holiday and in the greater Cleveland area had a situation where a student came in, was armed, and they had a very successful negotiation with the local police department, and the school did a great job of locking down. So those kinds of techniques are still in place. It's just that the active shooter scenario has changed dramatically.
So we talked earlier, Leslie Price, about trying to keep the atmosphere of the learning in the school, still make the school seem like a safe place for the kids, because that's very important for them to absorb information. They don't want to be looking over their shoulder and worrying if there's going to be a crazy person with a gun coming through the door. So how do you do that? I mean, how do you strike that balance?
It's something that we continue to look at, and we look at our policies and our procedures, and over time, do we need to make changes? Do we need to make upgrades, such as all the upgrades we made from the bond that was recently passed? But you don't want to get to the point that it looks like a prison, and I hope we never have to get there, but it's part of preparedness, top of mind, safety, always looking at that, making sure you're following those procedures you have in place. Are those doors locked?
Do you think the kids know about these shootings that have happened around the country, like a third, fourth grader?
I don't know about a third grader, but absolutely the students know, you know, that are a little bit older. There's so much in the news about that. And even that culture of awareness, getting them to sort of let someone know if there's something suspicious, that is happening. And that's happening because I think we talk about it in the schools, but also they hear about it at home. And so they know to alert somebody if they hear some rumor or if they have some sort of a fear.
I remember when I was in grade school, we would the fellow students would bring guns to school to show them off and stuff. That's an age that is long gone. That is no longer tolerated. Can't bring bullets or shotgun shells to school anymore like when I was a kid. So Chuck, do you think this is a permanent change in our culture? Do you think we'll ever get back to the old way of doing things?
I hope not. I hope we continue to learn and incorporate the lessons from the tragedies, Columbine, Sandy Hook being just two of those. But I do think it is, there are lessons to continue to be learned, and schools and their community partners need to continue to work together and evolve to the best they can to keep students and staff safe.
Chuck Hilbert, thank you so much. School safety consultant Leslie Price, SAISD. We had been talking about school safety in San Antonio. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.